Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. These words. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Let us pray. Merciful Father, we thank you for this holy word, these scriptures. We thank you, Lord, that they are alive and they're active and they cut us to the heart and they change our lives. Lord, may these words, the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know what? It seems like Jesus is really being hard on rich people. You notice that? Last week we saw the rich young ruler come to him, remember? We talked about the mountain that was keeping him from seeing what God had in store for him, what God's path was for him, what God's desire was for him. When he said, "Go, take everything you have, sell it, and give it to the poor. Then come follow me." You know, it was amazing because the question he asked was, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him the answer, "Come follow me." It's that simple. And yet he had this big mountain in the way, this wealth that he had that was giving him prestige. And it's within that context that we hear the text for today. Because if you don't understand the context, you might think, well, Jesus is really narrowing in on rich people. But that's not what he's doing, right? He's simply commenting on the fact that this man went away sad because, as the Bible says, he had great wealth. He knew that the mountain was too big for God to move. He felt that he couldn't do anything about his position. And it's interesting because the disciples are amazed at what happened when it says in verse 22, "At this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God.'" He's referring to the rich here, referring back to the rich man. He's referring to the rich in reference to the fact that this person had this mountain in his way. He couldn't experience what God wanted for him. He couldn't simply follow Jesus and give up all he had. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." This is really the point. Not so much that it's hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God, but it's these words that are really the point of what Jesus is trying to get across, isn't it? This is really what the kernel of this whole passage is. This is the main point. "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." How many of us understand what he's saying? How hard it is for us to enter the kingdom of God. Martin Luther put it this way. He said there's two religions in the world. Now we would disagree with that. We'd go, well, you know, actually no. There's Christianity and there's Judaism and there's Islam and there's Hinduism and there's Buddhism and there's Taoism. I mean, we can go on forever, right? We would say, Jesus, you're wrong. Actually, it was Martin Luther, so he could be wrong. He's a human being. But, you know what I mean? We would say, no. There's more than just two religions in the world. But what he was saying during the Reformation was this, and I think it's true to this day. There are two religions in the world. One where we work our way to heaven or to God through sacrifice, through meditation, through all kinds of things that we generate and we do. We earn our way to God, right? And if you were to define all of those religions that I mentioned with the exception of Christianity, would they not all be defined as religions where we do what we have to do in order to get to God? God is up on the mountain, and we have to get there, right? We got to figure out a way through meditation, through good works, through whatever, to get to God. He's up there, he's sitting on his throne, and we got to figure out a way to get to him. He said, that's one religion. And that is the predominant religion of mankind, isn't it? That's the predominant religion in humankind. It's the way that we're wired ever since the fall, is, and especially after the flood, when the Tower of Babel, remember? Not after the flood. Was it after the flood? Oh, I can't remember. I'm so tired today. Terrible, eh? The Tower of Babel, we recognize that it's always been part of our... Yeah, it's a Tower of after the flood. The Tower of Babel, where they tried to build a monument, they tried to build their way to God. It's part of our nature to want to get to God. It's our part of our nature to want to do it our own way. It's part of our nature to want to figure out a way that we can manipulate the situation so we can get to God. And that's what Jesus is referring to. He's saying to these disciples, and why they're so amazed is, this was a synagogue ruler that came to Jesus. He was a man of wealth, and they always figured it was easier for people who had money to be able to buy their way to God. They could give great amounts when they came to the temple as an offering. They could make the grandiose sacrifices. They were honored by the people. From a worldly point of view, these were the people that they figured had access to God. And so for him to say this was really changing their whole perspective, right? Because what he was trying to do is he was trying to say there's only two ways to God. There's only one way to God, but you think there's another. You think that you can somehow pay to get to God. You think you can somehow earn what God has for you. And what he was trying to impress upon them was the truth that you can never enter the kingdom of God on your own works. You're never going to be able to enter the kingdom of God based upon your own understanding, your own knowledge, your own works. Never. And that's why he gave this perspective. And I know that there's been arguments over history. If you read commentaries on this text, you'll find out that some commentators believe there's actually an entrance to Jerusalem called the Eye of the Camel, or the Eye of the Needle, sorry. And they said that Jesus was referring to this actual place where it was almost impossible for a camel, even if he got down on his knees, I heard Mrs. Hart say, on his knees, even if he got down on his knees, it was almost impossible for him to get through this little entrance. And yet, we've been trying to find that, archaeologists have been trying to find that, and they've still, to this day, not found this, quote, Eye of the Needle. I happen to think it's not referring to an actual gate. I think it's referring to the proverbial, what's the largest animal in Palestine at the time of Jesus? Camel, right? If he would have been in India, what would he have said? An elephant, right? I don't know what he would have said if he was in North America. Maybe buffalo, I don't know. I mean, what would he have said? Pardon me? Bears, okay, he would have said bears. Okay, well, you know, if he was here, he would have put it into perspective. The largest animal that they could see, that they could experience, was the camel. And he says to them, this is like trying to get the camel through the smallest hole that they would have experienced in their life. And what's the smallest hole they would have experienced in their life is that they could see? Would be the eye of a needle. They would have probably watched people sewing and look at that and say, wow, you know, because I'm sure if they were like my age and they were trying to get it through the eye of the needle, they probably heard people struggling with that. Any of you ever tried to do that when you don't have your glasses? Some of you? I mean, it is a painful experience. This is where it's nice to be nearsighted. Because it is a painful experience to try to get that you know, thread through the eye of the needle. It is, I'm sure they must have experienced someone experiencing that frustration in their life. Because they all seem to be going, yeah, okay, a camel through the eye of a needle, impossible. That's what it says here, right? And look at their response. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed. I love this, you know. Mark seems to like to use that word in the Greek, the word for amazed or shocked. They just kept getting shocked more and more Because what he's trying to teach them is something that is so counterintuitive, so impossible for us as human beings. So impossible for us to understand that you cannot gain salvation by what you do. How many of us struggle with this? How many of us live like we can gain salvation through what we do? I mean, isn't it part of our nature? Isn't it something we struggle with? I struggle with it all the time, and yet this is what he's trying to tell them. That's why they were amazed, and they said to each other, and this is so important, because this is really the question we should be looking at today. Because it should be the question for us as we seek to reach out to our community, as we seek to reach out to the university, as we seek to reach out in the state of Michigan and the United States of America and throughout the whole world, we should be asking the same question that the disciples asked. What question did they ask? What question did they ask? Who then can be saved? Right? Isn't that a valid question? If it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for us, whether rich or poor, to enter the kingdom of heaven, shouldn't we be asking the same question as the disciples? So, Jesus, who then can be saved? Because if we were asking that question, that would change our perspective, wouldn't it? If we're asking that question, that would help us to understand what Jesus is trying to get across the disciples, and it seems like they finally get it, because they asked that question, and what does Jesus say? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. You know what? I hope that we get to that point. And I say this knowing how difficult it is for us as Western people who like to do it our way, who like to be able to think that we can handle things. How many of us like to think, I got this covered, I can handle this? You know, I'm praying that God will give this church, us as his people, a vision that is so big that we will go, this is impossible. And you're going, Pastor, you're supposed to have the vision and the goals and the objectives and everything measurable. Right? Because that's the way we organize. But I'm going to tell you something. I have been praying consistently and constantly without a few distractions that we will be given a vision as the people of Cross Resurrection Lutheran Church, that we will be given a vision by God, that we will be given a passion by God, that we will be given a desire to reach people and to see healing happen and to see and experience God's power in such a remarkable way that when we start to look at it and try to program it and try to figure it out and try to schedule it and put it down and you know, articulate it in goals and objectives, that we will just raise up our hands and say, it is impossible. Amen? Because I want to experience, and the only way that this happens is when we get to a place like these disciples where we say, it's impossible. Because you know what? It's at that point where the Lord Jesus himself comes alongside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit and says what? With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let's say that together. All things are possible. Can we be healed? Yes. Can we be forgiven of all of our sins? Yes. Can we be made righteous? Can we experience the living God right here, right now? Yes. Can we share the gospel with people so that they know they don't have to work their way to God? Yes. Can we tell them that Jesus came to us? Yes. Can we tell them that he died on the cross for us? Yes. Can we tell them it's simply a gift to receive rather than something we must earn? Yes. Because with man, it's impossible. But with God, All things are
possible.
I don't know what else I can say. Amen. I think I broke a record. That's okay. I got my first council meeting on Monday. I'm looking forward. Maybe I get a reward. Only by grace. Who said that? You said that? It's true. It is only by grace. All things are possible. This is most certainly true. Let's stand as we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you.